Hallelujah. 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 You know, I think I can tell you with 100% of surety why David was such a great praiser of God. I think I won't get it right when I tell you this. Because he watched King Saul and he saw what it was like to lose the Spirit. He saw what it was like, a man that had it and a man that lost it. A man that had it and worshiped God. A man that lost it and chased a witch trying to find it again. And so when he did his great sin, he said, Lord, take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Lord, wash me, cleanse me, whatever you got to do. But Lord, leave me with the Spirit. Because he saw how miserable it is to once have it and then lose it. And he just praised the Lord. Don't take it from me. Hallelujah. Hey, amen. I don't want to lose. Hallelujah. I don't want to lose what God's given me. No, no, no. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:35 says this, cast not away. Hebrews 10:35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Things you once had confidence in, things you once trusted in, he said, cast it not away, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't throw away. When you throw your confidence away in somebody, something, or in God, you threw your reward away. You might as well take your reward and throw it with your confidence, because it goes, your reward goes with your confidence. For ye have need of, and this is why I told you, get your shouting over with, because this isn't what anybody wants to talk about. Ye have need of patience, that after ye have done, say performed, after you perform, after the performance, you've done it, you've done the will of God, that ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. When he gets ready to come, he said, I come quickly. But until I get ready to come, it's not. You know, when God does something, he does a quick work. He redeems the time. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back from faith, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We know that faith pleases God. Read parts of other parts of Hebrews chapter 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So when you withdraw your faith and your confidence in things, if people lose faith in you, boy, it just hurts. But when we are not of them, he said, but we are not of them that draw back to perdition or to draw back to unbelief, but of them that believe, not just believe, but to the saving of the soul. I believe so much that he's going to raise me up on the last day. I believe him so much that though my body would be in the grave, I'm coming up. That's how much I believe him. I believe him to the saving of my soul. I want to talk about tonight for a little while from purpose to promise. I want to talk about the trip. Yeah, the trip. And if people trip out and the trip. You ever went on a trip and you did that little button? You said, let's see how far it is. Well, tonight I want to show you how far it can be. Just push the trip button from purpose to promise. Hallelujah. God, I come before you tonight. I'm thankful for the word of God. It's knowledge, and knowledge gives us wisdom, and wisdom gives us the effects of the kingdom of God that needs to be in our life. It gives the performance. Hallelujah. We're thankful for your word tonight. Put it in our hearts and in our lives that we may always serve you and never displease you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I brought my little helper here tonight. Everything starts with a purpose. So I'm going to write purpose. Everything starts with a purpose. There is nothing in God's world that just happens. I know that sometimes it's just life. I understand that. But anything that has eternal weight is a purpose. When we look at Ecclesiastes 3:1, we won't read a time to be born, a time to die. We won't read all that. I just want the first verse. To everything there and a time to every purpose under the sun. Everything that is, or under heaven, everything that happens on earth is a purpose. You're not an accident. You're not your mom and daddy's accident. I'm sorry. Some people say, oh, they didn't really plan me. I just showed up. I'm sorry. God planned you. Whether they didn't plan you or not doesn't matter. God planned you. The Bible says, David said, it's he that has made nothing, not we ourselves. God planned you. So you're here on an assignment, and you're here on a mission, and you're here on a purpose. And until you first believe that you have a purpose, it's very difficult to enjoy life. People wonder all their lives, what is my purpose? Still searching. Years and years, they're looking for purpose. One man wrote a book. I'm sure it was a million book copy seller, A Purpose-Driven Life. I have not written the book because I read this book. And so it talks about, I guess, the same thing. And there may be many things that we can't figure out tonight, and the purpose of different things, but it doesn't mean it doesn't have a purpose. Because I can't figure it out doesn't mean it doesn't have a purpose. See, we are masters of why, Lord, why this? We want to know the whys. It doesn't mean it doesn't have a purpose because I can't figure it out. It still has a purpose. I don't have to know the purpose. I've asked the Lord just the other day. I went hunting. I said, Lord, what's the purpose of mosquitoes? They sure have a lot of them out here. There must be a really big purpose of mosquitoes. Maybe it was just that I would ask him what the purpose of mosquitoes. I don't know. Or maybe that he was teaching me something. But I don't know. But there's a purpose. And I'm here to tell everybody, because we're all human, we're all flesh, and we all make mistakes, we all continue to make mistakes. I want to tell you, there's even your mistakes have purpose. Even your mistakes have purpose. No, you might not have done it on purpose, and you may have. But even though Abraham got weak and went into Hagar, there was a purpose in Ishmael. Oh, you don't think so? Ask Joseph, who got him out of the pit. It was the Ishmaelites that got him out of the pit. So maybe God just had them to get Joseph out of the pit. But all things work together. They have purpose. And so you may think, well, but Lord, I messed up. I shouldn't have. Well, look at the life of Jonah. Jonah even ran from the Lord, you know, because he didn't want to go to Nineveh to look like a fool and just preach yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. And he knew the Lord would save them. He said, I'm going to look like a fool. I'm going to tell them the Lord's going to destroy y'all. Y'all are going to. I know how the story ends. Just save them, Lord. You don't need me. So he tried to go away from the presence of the Lord. And, you know, he caught a ship to Joppa or to Tarsus. And there, you know, he ends up in the belly of the whale. And he comes out and finally he preaches his message. Just a simple little preacher. But Jesus says a greater than Jonas is here. He had a purpose. You see, that even Jesus repeated the life of Jonah. He said, an evil adulteress seeketh after a sign, but they'll see no sign except that of the purpose of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. The book is closed. That's the only sign you're going to get. He had a purpose. Even though he was disobedient to God, there was a purpose. And so you have to understand, yes, you have to repent. Yes, you have to make corrections, but you need to learn from that incident and turn it into the purpose. David even looked at the enemies and he said, is there not a cause, which is the purpose? And as long as we all work toward the purpose of the kingdom of God and the cause, when we get our own agenda and our own causes involved, then we lose sight of the purpose. And for every purpose, there is a promise. For every purpose, the trip ends in a promise. If there's not a promise at the end of the purpose, then why have the purpose? There's got to be some intentions. The word promise is comes from the word pro-mission. So it means even before you start, the promise is a pro-mission. There is a mission your own, and it's already in place. And so the promise is the guarantee that the purpose will turn into, are you ready for this? A lot of peace tonight. Possessions. It will turn into a possession in that you own it. The promises of God are things that you ultimately possess. Look at the Old Testament. They walked out with purpose until they got to what they could possess. And the same is true here. God does not want us to just walk around aimlessly. There needs to be a possession. He said, told Abraham, the first time the word possess was used, it wasn't about devils. It was about controlling the gates of your enemy. He said, you shall possess the gates of your enemy. You're going to allow what goes in and out of your life and in your camp and through your family. You will be the one in charge of that gate. So that was the promise. And it ended up with possession. Are you with me? Okay, two or three of y'all are. It's good. Because after you have the purpose, it will never materialize until you work on that purpose. Jeremiah said this, "For every purpose of the Lord, it shall be performed." It's kind of like Brother Dennis said, if God said this over here, it's going to happen over there. It may take 300-400 years as it did in the time of the deliverance of Israel, but if he has a promise or a purpose, it will be performed. And to every purpose requires us to have a performance. If you're going to have ultimately the promise, there must be a performance. Even in places it said, well, Lord, how's this going to happen? He said, the zeal of the Lord shall perform it. Something's going to perform it. There's got to be a performance or there will never be a possession. And so when you get to this performance stage, this is where people, they trip out. This is where I stop right here. I like the purpose. I want the possession. But this performance thing is what's bothering me. And people can shout about the purpose. They can shout about the possession. But they rarely shout about doing it. And that's why James said, don't be a hearer of the word only, but be a doer of the word. Who doesn't want the promises of God? But without the performance that you are required to do, you will never reach it. And one thing that keeps people... Y'all better tighten up. One thing that keeps people from reaching their purpose and possessing it is the performance. And when performance is carried out, it's called perseverance. Perseverance is the ability to overcome difficulties. It's the ability to get a flat tire and say, well, I'm not turning around now just because I got a flat tire. Flat tires happen. I'm not quitting now because I run out of gas. I'll find me a gas can. Could I get a ride? I'm going to find me a way. Thank you, brother, for giving me some gas when I ran out of gas that time. I'm going to find a way to get to my possession, my promise. And I'm not going to let things that happen along the way stop me from getting there. That's perseverance. Now, perseverance, they have procrastination. They have good intentions, but they're always going to do it tomorrow. And tomorrow is always tomorrow. So when today gets here, it's still tomorrow. And they never, ever have the performance. Why? Because when they look at the distance between here and there, they go, oh, Lord, that's going to take a long time. It's taking longer by you waiting. The longer you wait, the harder it's going to be. But the way you remove a mountain is one shovel at a time. You don't have to have a bulldozer. I need a shovel, and I'll do it one shovel, but I will persevere until I remove this mountain out of my life. Are y'all still with me? Because procrastination, like one guy said, is my greatest sin, and perhaps I should quit starting tomorrow. And that's the problem. Well, I'm telling you, there's procrastinators in the church, and it's hard to believe. I'm going to get my life together. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a better this, and I'm going to be a better that. But it's always, I'm gonna, and they never start doing it. And you'd be pleased with yourself. You go, hey, I did make a little headway on that. You know, it does look a little better around here. I do feel better about myself. But as long as you live in procrastination, you never do the performance of it. Are you still with me? Okay. Procrastination is one of those things. The opposite of perseverance really is not procrastination, because you can want to do something and not do it. But it is stubbornness. And stubbornness is the opposite of perseverance. It has that word born in it, but it has that word stub. You see? Stub, born. It's born, but it doesn't go anywhere because it's too stubborn to go anywhere. And so the problem, you see, stubborn means it won't come out. it won't come out. How many of y'all are, you know, he got a stubborn streak in him. You know, they say a mule is stubborn because they say a horse, you can lead them to water, but you can't. They can be thirsty as all get out, but you can't make them, even though they're thirsty, you can't make them because it won't come out. And they have all kinds of stuff like Shout It Out and spot removers of all kinds for stubborn stains, for things that won't come out. I'm here to tell you, God's got some spot shot too. He's got some hot shot too. He's got some stubborn removal stuff. Just ask, Nebuchadnezzar couldn't be here tonight, but he wanted me to tell you, don't be stubborn. He'll take you down to where you eat the grass of the field and your fingernails grow like birds until your reason, says when his reasoning and his understanding came back to him, he said, wait a minute, maybe God was right here. What am I acting like this for? And he brought him back up, but he had to bring him all the way down to bring him back up. And so the problem with stubborn is this. It eventually turns into rebellion. And rebellion is an attitude that goes along with stubbornness. Then it started out as just, look, I don't want to do it. And then it goes into, well, I'll show you I don't want to do it. You see, it starts turning into rebellion after a while. And stubbornness and rebellion were two things that Moses' law did not tolerate. Now, are you ready for this? Some of y'all probably think your children were stubborn. Be glad you didn't live in the Old Testament, because there wouldn't be any kids around here. Jesus said, will I find faith on earth when I come back? If you read this, after we read it, you'll wonder why he didn't say, will I find children on earth when I get back? Deuteronomy 21 and 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice. You hear that? The voice. Obey the voice. Just say it and it's done. Of his father and mother, or the voice of his mother's parents, or and that when they have chastised him, they use more than their voice. It's like, didn't you hear what I said? You know, a belt always helped my hearing. I always heard so much better after a whipping. Daddy could just say it once after a whipping, but before he had to say it three or four times. And so he said, after you've chastised them, and he will not hearken unto them, you've done everything you know to do, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard, meaning he is given to things that he desires and not to what we're asking him to do. That's good for him. All the men of the city shall, can you imagine that? Stone him with stones that he die. This is how much, and I'm going to show you why. This is how much they hated stubbornness and rebellion. That he die. So shall thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. When they hear, they're going, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. What do you want me to do, sir? They're going to straighten up. Because when they hear that Johnny got stoned for being stubborn, it's going to change the way you start listening to the voice. And the reason that Moses did this was so that another generation would not rise up or arise that saw stubborn parents. That was the reason. I'll show it to you. He did not want the next generation to look at the current generation and say, well, I'll be like them. Israel stayed in bondage for how long? How long did Israel stay in bondage? It was 400 years, but the answer I'm looking for is until they cried out. They stayed in bondage until they cried. It took them 400 years to cry out, but they'd have been 500 years if they hadn't cried out. But when they decided to cry out, the Lord heard them and came to them. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm telling y'all a lot about my history of growing up. I learned to cry first. I learned when Daddy said, I'm going to whip you. Don't whip me. Dad. And you know what? I found mercy doing that. Now, other men and other boys, whip me if you want to. And they'd take that beating, and all I'd be doing would be wiping my eyes. They'd wiping their britches. I just wiping my eyes, you know. That's all I had was some tears. And daddy had mercy on me. But if you beat some kids, they won't cry out. That's okay. You're stubborn. And you're going to keep until you finally, you know what happens? He said, the next generation will be just like you. And so I learned to cry out. And that's what David did. David said, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord. And Lord, he heard me. He said, early will I seek you, Lord. It's at the first sign of trouble, Lord, help me. Jesus, help me, Lord. Cry out to the Lord, and he's a merciful God. But to be stubborn and to be rebellious, he said, I got no place for that. You know what he said about pride? I don't even like a proud look. Not even a proud heart. I don't like a proud look. I don't even like people that dress proudful or drive proudful or act proudful. I don't even want a proud look.